one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be sit down. Heavenly Father, through the written word and the spoken word, open our eyes to the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Who here likes going for winter walks? One, two, three, four. Oh, a few more. You're happy to pull on your walking boots. You're happy to step out in the rain and the mud and the cold and the leaves and the ice and the snow and go for a walk. Still smiling? One day I'm going to challenge you to it. Now, how would it feel if you were getting ready for your winter walk and you're going past a friend's house and they're sitting by the fireside, all cozy and warm, and you say to them, come with me for a walk. What do you think the reaction might be? They don't want to go, do they? They're happy staying there by the fire, where it's warm, where it's safe, where it's comfortable. And you're saying, come on, come with me. Let's go and do something completely different. They don't want to go. Maybe they take some encouragement. Maybe they're at a point where we can't take them on a journey in the first place. Maybe we've got to use all the wit and the wile that we've got to persuade others. It's a bit like that in our reading from Isaiah this morning. It's quite an exciting thing. The writer is talking about going up to the mountain of God, and he's speaking to the people of Israel, who are really a people who are starting to struggle. They're living under enemy occupation. They are looking and waiting and crying out for a savior, somebody who is going to lead them out of the darkness and somebody who's going to take them on a new path. And it talks about the city of Jerusalem being a place where people want to go up to. And there's this great encouragement in that reading. In verse 5, the writer of Isaiah is saying, people of Jacob, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. There's this real excitement. Come, let's go together. Let's go and see what's on top of this mountain. Let's go and see what's up there. But it would be really boring if we all took the journey together. Instead, there's this great encouragement. Come, let's go. That implies taking other people with us. That's dragging people away from their cozy firesides and say, let's go out into the wet and the cold. Let's go to the places we don't know, because we don't know what God is going to do to us on the way. Part of what it means to be a Christian is to invite other people on the journey. Jesus, when he walked on the earth, didn't just speak to a few people. He spoke to crowds. He spoke to thousands of people. And they were all encouraged by this message of teaching. And all these years later, the message to us is the same. We've got to invite other people. We've got to bring them on the journey. Now, for some people, the journey through Advent is the journey to the point of arriving at Christmas. But Advent is so much more than that. Advent is a season of preparation. We're getting ready together for the time when Jesus comes again. And as the gospel says, we don't know when that's going to be. We don't know the hour, we don't know the place, we don't know anything about it. What we do know is that at some point it's going to happen. We've got to be ready, we've got to be waiting, we've even got to have our lamps lit and just be ready to go on that journey. So Advent is all about waiting and preparation. It's about waking up and being open to the realities and the possibilities of God. And okay, on our journey, we might travel through the ice, the snow, the mud, the leaves, and all the other sorts of things. We might end up going to the places we don't actually want to go to. But God has promised us that on this journey, we're not going to be abandoned. God wants us to bring other people with us on the journey. But of course, we move towards Christmas as well. We move towards that time of celebrating the birth of Jesus. And then after the story of the birth of Jesus celebrated at Christmas, the story of the life of Jesus on earth has to go on unfolding. We hear about his baptism, his missional journeys, his message of forgiveness, his ministry of teaching and healing and preaching. We will hear about his betrayal and his death, his resurrection, ascension, and then the coming of the promised Holy Spirit. But of course, that's not the end of the story. We still live in a world that, like at the time of Jesus, did not know what peace was. In our society, there is hatred, jealousy, oppression, genocide, injustice. The list goes on and on. What's happened to the rule of the Prince of Peace? One of the great things about the Christian faith is that we believe Jesus triumphed over sin and death once and for all. That triumph can't be reversed, but it's yet to be fully worked out here on earth. And that's what we're waiting for. The return of Jesus, that final fulfilling of God's kingdom, the return of Jesus. So in Advent, we are waiting, but we're also getting ready as well. And yes, Christmas is going to happen, and it happens every year on a set date. We've got the traditions, we've got the stories, we've got all the stuff that's really familiar to us. Maybe it's so familiar sometimes that it's comforting. We do the same things every year, especially in a world that often seems so much less safe and less predictable. We're quite good at getting ready for Christmas. What are you doing for Christmas? We keep asking each other. All the different festivities, we get ourselves ready. We fill our homes and our fridges with all the bits and pieces, and we get ready. But more importantly, we're getting ready for the return of Jesus. Like his birth, this is definitely going to happen. It's part of our belief. But although it will come unexpectedly, we've got to be ready for it. So how do we get ready for that journey? How do we maintain a daily sense of expectation that Jesus is going to come again? How, after all this time, has the message just got too familiar? We know it's going to happen. We don't know when. Maybe in my lifetime, maybe not. And we carry on regardless. But we need to live our daily lives to the full in order to prepare for the return of Jesus. Maybe we can prepare ourselves or begin to prepare ourselves by looking at ourselves a bit more carefully and a bit more closely. Maybe if we examine our lives, the things we do or the things we feel are important to us, if we examine them, maybe we can see in there something of how God wants us to live. Maybe in our lives or in our everyday, we can see some of the things that don't quite meet up to what God expects for us. We can see the stuff in our way, the lives, the relationships, the things and the people we don't need. Is this how we want to spend every day of the rest of our lives? Maybe there are unsaid words that need to be spoken. Maybe we've spoken in our lives or done things that we regret. Maybe we're still holding on to and nursing old feelings of hurt and anger that we need to move on from. We need to seek healing and forgiveness both for ourselves and for others. And that's always possible. Maybe the things that we feel enrich our lives actually don't. But maybe we're at a point where we haven't yet got round to sorting that out. Advent, like Lent, is one of those times when we're invited to pause, to take a step back, and to take stock. Advent could be a time of stock-taking, time of putting our house and our lives in order. It's a time to decide where our priorities lie and what we need to do to grow into being the people that God means us to be. But of course, we don't do that alone. We do that as part of a community. Church is not much good if it's just one person. The church is so much better when it's a community made up of people. And yes, we all come together, completely different people, all with our own backgrounds, our own stories, our own experiences. But the one thing that unites us is we want to be here. We want to discover something of the goodness of God. We want to taste and see, as the scripture puts it. Of course, we don't do it alone. We do it in community. We do it by bringing other people into that relationship with God. None of us needs to be clever or academic or having come to church all our lives to enjoy that relationship with God. It's a free gift. It's given without God asking anything of us in return, except we do our best to love back, to mirror that love that was given to us in the first place by Jesus. We're called to be a people who invite others to come on the journey. Perhaps this time of year, God could stir it in all our hearts to invite somebody else to step away from their cozy fireside, to come onto that journey out into the wet and the cold, where you don't ultimately know the destination or even how you're going to get there. But all you know is that it's a journey you've got to go on. Wouldn't it be better if you went on that journey with somebody else? If you invited somebody else to come along with you, to share the journey, to share those experiences? It can seem a long way up that mountain, especially if we've stood right at the bottom looking up. You ever climb a mountain and you start off at the bottom, you start looking up, and you start looking further and further and further and further and further, seeing the top right up there, and you think, how on earth am I going to get there? You've got somebody on the journey with you, the journey suddenly becomes so much easier. You've got somebody to walk by your side. You've got somebody to talk with. You've got somebody to laugh with as well. You've got somebody to make mistakes alongside. And that's what God is asking of us, that we journey together. We don't do it by ourselves. We go on this journey not just through life, but towards God in the company of other people. And when we journey up that mountain, we're not journeying towards some severe and unmerciful judge. We're journeying towards God. And ultimately, God is also alongside us on our journey, teaching us through the Bible how to walk in his paths, nourishing us with spiritual food and drink for the journey. But more than anything, God wants to share God's story with us so that we in turn share that story with other people. If we can remember and hold on to the eternal triumph of Jesus, it renews our courage for the times when we stumble on the path or when we end up in icy puddles or kicking our way through leaves. That joy of the relationship with God gives us strength when the going gets tough. So Advent is all about a tale of two things. It's about God coming as the light of the world, bringing forgiveness and peace and healing to everyone, not just in churches, but to a hurting and broken world. But it's also about getting ready for the return of Jesus, God coming into the world in power and might to bring all things to their ending. Advent is all about light, forgiveness, peace, and healing. It's about celebrating all that Jesus brings into our world, not just at Christmas, but so that we can be a people who are transformed, people who have woken up, people who have made themselves ready to face Jesus whenever that may be. So come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways. People of God, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.